It's Tara Loughery-Grant here in for Ryan. He'll be back on Monday. Now, you know the summer is over when radio shows start talking about back to school, as we did yesterday, and the start of the Premiership, as we're about to do. But it's here, and it's starting tomorrow with Manchester United taking on Swansea. Andrew Mangan of Arsblog is here to give us a rundown of the new season. I feel like I should be doing a football shout of "Rah!" I go, Andrew.
you can do that if you want.
I think I just did. Mm. So no, Andy, tell us, like, the big names that have left. I mean, Luis Suarez has been the story of the summer.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone to Barcelona for a big amount of money, and obviously that's going to be a blow for Liverpool. But I think they've spent a lot of money as well to bring in new players. So we'll have to wait and see if his departure really has an impact on them.
What did you think of it? What did you think of the whole debacle? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I think anyone who bites somebody is just a bit mad, really, isn't it? So it's not the first time he did it either. So he can't say he wasn't warned, and the punishment is quite severe, all right. But I think he's just going to have to take his medicine.
Yes, and he was somebody that we were able to teach kids. I was looking at my four-year-old and I said, that's an example, and that's what happens, a four-month ban if you bite another grown man.
Yeah.
So on the serious side of that, though, you know, it is something that, you know, is it going to have an impact in the Premiership? Is going to have an impact. And then Frank Lampard.
Yeah, well, that was interesting as well, because he signed for this new club that Manchester City have set up in New York, and then came from there. Well, I don't think he even went there. He went and got his picture taken, and then all of a sudden he's gone to Manchester City from Chelsea. But that was a bit of a surprise, I think. But Arsene Wenger made a nice comment about going from London to Manchester via New York is not the shortest way possible, you know.
But of course, I mean, given Arsblog, given the title, given your interests, what's your focus really? What are you gearing up for now? Because, I mean, Arsblog, you've got such huge following. What, you've got over 300,000 followers on Twitter. So what are you really focusing on now?
Well, obviously every single Arsenal game, which is what we do on the website. We look at every game, previews and reviews, and we do a live blog. We do a couple of podcasts a week, and pretty much every bit of news that revolves around Arsenal, we'll run it on the site. So, you know, I'm quite biased and partisan. I make no apologies for that. But that's it. I mean, from here until May, it's just head down and we'll get on with every game.
And you're really living the dream. I mean, just explain how hands-on you are and how much interaction you have with the Premiership and with the players.
I don't really have any interaction at all with the players, but obviously because we're a big website, we've got a lot of fans, a lot of followers, it's busy, so there's a lot to do.
You're at every big Arsenal game anyway.
Well, not at them, but we work them, you know. We've got a couple of people who work for the site who are certainly season ticket holders and who do attend every game, but nowadays you can watch every game on television, or you can find it on the internet. You can stream it, even though you're probably not supposed to, but everybody does. So it's not like the old days where you were reliant on looking at teletext or what might appear in tomorrow's newspaper. Everybody around the world can see every Premier League game live, and you know, it's great.
And you can tune into all the action on Game On here on 2FM. So is it also going to be all, do you like that? He's laughing at my lovely smooth plug there. The lads will be chuffed. But is it going to be all about Louis van Gaal?
Well, I think he's going to be an interesting character this season in the Premier League. He comes with a track record of winning. He's won the league in Spain, in Holland, in Germany. He's won the Champions League. He's been the manager of the Dutch national side, and he is a prickly character at the best of times. And I think there are a couple of managers in the Premier League already who are a bit like that. You might look at how he interacts with Jose Mourinho at Chelsea. That could be really quite fun. Sort of like two old Rams butting heads. So I don't know if it's going to be all about Louis van Gaal, but I think he's going to have a big impact on Manchester United for sure.
Now that we've got the huge plug for Arsenal out of the way, which other teams are we going to be watching this season?
Well, obviously Manchester City, who are the champions. Chelsea, as we mentioned, have got a very big squad. They've spent very well this summer. They've brought in some really good players, some Spanish fella called Cesc or something. I don't know where they got him from. But they're going to be up there. Liverpool as well, even though they've lost Luis Suarez, have spent a lot of money. They've really strengthened their squad. Arsenal and Manchester United, I think, will be the five teams that will compete for the title.
Now, the big names, who are the big names that have joined the Premiership?
Who's come in? Well, Arsenal have brought in Alexis Sanchez from Barcelona. He plays for Chile. He's a Chilean international and had a really great season last season at At Barcelona, they spent 30-odd million pounds on him. So
is it 37.8 by any chance?
No, 32.5, I believe. I don't know where 37.8 is coming from. But
it's probably right.
Yeah, maybe in euros. That's what it is.
Okay.
But as you said, Chelsea have brought in Cesc Fabregas, Diego Costa as well from Spain. Manchester City have bought in a couple of players from Porto. Manchester United have bought a guy, Herrera, from Athletic Bilbao, and they spent £30 million on a sort of overweight fullback from Southampton, but he was injured now, but I'm sure he'll get up to speed. That'll be fun. And Liverpool, as we said, have bought in most of Southampton's team. So there's a lot of money going around, and all the teams are strengthening and getting ready for the new campaign. So,
do you know what? I know we're kind of getting used to bandying about these huge amounts of money, but you know, we did an interview recently with Paul McGrath, and it's for a documentary that's on the podcast of RT1 called My Left Knee. But anyway, that's a plug for my documentary. But no, and he was saying, you know, the lads then, the money that was going around then, they had a great lifestyle, he said, don't get him wrong. But the money that was going around then is nothing like it's going around now. But Andrew, it just seems to be getting bigger and bigger. We're getting used to it, but it's profane, really.
I guess so, but that's professional sport. I think it's been like that in the US for years. You know, people talk about the salaries that players are paid in the big games in the United States, and it's getting a bit like that here in the Premier League, because there's a huge amount of money, obviously, that the clubs generate through their stadiums, through their tickets, but of course the worldwide appeal of the Premier League now and the television money that's on offer is enormous. And all that does is, you know, increase things. Nothing is ever going to go down. So the more money that comes into the game, the more money the players want and their agents get, them more money. And then, of course, it just costs more and more. It'll just, I suppose, reach a point where it's all the money in the world going into football. But that's the way it goes.
I know. And even Rory McIlroy earlier in the week signing up that sponsorship deal for $200 million over the next couple of years.
I mean, it's not bad, is it?
Yeah, it's a nice way to earn a living. What other clubs, do you think they're going to follow, other clubs are going to follow Manchester United's lead in banning iPads?
I didn't know that Manchester United really banned it from the stadium.
Yes.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't know why they'd do that.
But that little sound was because I've been on your side, I've been, you know, regular follower. You know your stuff, and I love bringing something new to you, Andrew.
Sorry.
You with your big, sexy, hungry voice.
I don't know whether they will or not. I guess the reason they might do that is because they might think it's an obstruction to a fan, somebody holding their iPad up in front of them.
But, or,
you know, everyone's got their smartphones anyway, so.
It's. I'd say, yeah, it could be that. And also the whole idea of, you know, with copyright and...
Well, maybe, yeah, it could be that. But I think what's interesting as well is you find that a lot of stadiums, Wembley, the new Wembley Stadium, have introduced... it's very difficult to get an internet connection on your phone in a stadium because there's 60,000 people all trying to use the network. But Wembley have introduced a network specifically inside the ground so people can get connectivity, so they can put their pictures on Instagram and everything else. So whether that's a backward step for Manchester United, we'll have to wait and see. I think, you know, certainly people are using their mobile devices while watching football, whether it's on television or in the grounds.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see in that one. Now, there's a lot of the talk about the quality of the Premiership after England's less than impressive World Cup campaign. So has the quality suffered in recent times?
No, I think maybe England are perhaps, they think they're a little bit better than they are, or should do better than they usually do in these tournaments. But they've got good players. There's good young English players out there. Maybe they need the right manager. There have been objections in the past when England have brought in foreign managers who have done better than the English managers who have come before them. But you hear people talk about how it's foreign players coming into the Premier League that have an impact on how the English national team does. But as long as I've been watching football, the English national team haven't done very well in the World Cup or the European Championships. They won it, of course, in 1966. But throughout the years when there were only English players in the Premier League or Division One, as it was back then, they still didn't do very well. So they're consistent anyway.
Okay, I'm definitely not going to argue with you on that one. Now, do you think, I mean, look, we've had a wonderful summer of football with the World Cup. Do you think people, it's almost like the Premiership has snuck up on us, whereas normally people are crossing off the days and weeks to get to it. Do you think people are tired of football at this stage?
I don't think so. I think the appetite is bigger than it ever was, to be perfectly honest. The World Cup was great this summer, and I think the time that the World Cup games took place was really interesting too, because you had evening football and people staying up late watching football, and it has had an impact obviously on how quickly the new Premier League season has come along, but I think the appetite is there. People are dying for their games tomorrow, and fans of all clubs are just waiting to see what's going to happen.
And it's interesting to see, because you're just back from New York recently for your book tour for the Arseblog book, which was published on Portnoy, and the amount of fans in America. So the fan base over there is just growing for football.
Yeah, it's incredible. We launched the book in May, and I got an email at the time when we were sending books out from home. An American guy who was on holidays here, driving around the Ring of Kerry with his girlfriend, he asked, could he come to my house and pick up a book? And I said, that'd be fine. He was from Houston, and we just were chatting, and he said, 2 or 3 years ago, there were 5 or 6 of them used to meet in a bar in Houston to watch the games. Now there's a couple of hundred for every single game, and that's in Houston. We were in New York, and it was just crazy. Arsenal fans everywhere, all down 14th Street, a place you know quite well, I believe. And
I have to explain that. Andrew, this is how I know this brilliant story about the Portnoy book. Andrew, when I was on Twitter, I happened to see that he launched your book. You launched your book and did a signing in the exact same pub where, and I know how classy is this, where I got proposed to on 14th Street,
there,
where my Ado, my husband, used to live nearby. I was going to say he used to live, where he used to live, in the pub.
But no, it was incredible, the amount of Arsenal fans, because Arsenal were playing there. They went on tour there this summer, and there were Arsenal fans from all over the United States, and the enthusiasm for the team to come and watch what they knew was probably going to be a second team, because most of the players were still on their holidays from the World Cup, was incredible. It was incredible. So as we've spoken about, the worldwide reach of the Premier League is growing and growing, and I think it's going to continue.
Excellent. Well, listen, Andrew, you're off for a very exciting time with tomorrow, so people can get to your podcast on the website arseblog.com and also follow you on Twitter.
Yes, indeed.
At Arseblog.
Oh, at Arseblog, sorry.
I think we're going to get a nice picture of you and put it up there for anyone who's going, what a lovely voice.
Yeah, might put them off there.
You pulled a Redner earlier, so yeah. I think I just wanted to do that before we go into this. Thanks a million, Andrew.
My pleasure.